conversation.
And welcome into another edition of Off to the Races here on my 96.7 AM 1270 WDLR. Mike Bozich, your host, for another exciting edition of Off to the Races. A couple of really good guests for you today. We're going to get into some good stuff on this edition of the program. Frank Frost will be joining us. He is the executive director of the OHHA. He's going to be talking a little bit about the role that the OHHA plays in harness racing here in the Buckeye State. Plus, we're going to talk to him a little bit about, well, I guess you could kind of say the state of the union. A lot of great things going on here in the sport of harness racing in Ohio. Stakes season gearing up. Got lots of purse money on the line coming up between all the fairs and the paramutuals. And, of course, the road to the Little Brown Jug in September. We're going to touch with Frank on all those topics. Plus, a good conversation with Mark Lowy. He is the vice chairperson of the USTA, a vice president of customer relations for Hanover Shoe Farms. He's got a long work history here in the state of Ohio, as he was an integral part of the construction of one of America's newest racetracks, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway. And we're going to talk to him about a brand new graded stakes system that is going to be implemented here in 2025 with the sport of harness racing, much like how thoroughbreds have the graded stakes system. So Frank Frost, Mark Lowy joining us on the program, plus much, much more. You've got week two of Off to the Races, and we'll get the ball rolling coming up. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Off to the Races. Mike Bozich on 96.7 FM, AM 1270 WDLR. And right now we're joined by Mark Lowy, the vice president, vice chairperson, I should say, of the USTA, as well as vice president of customer relations for Hanover Shoe Farms. Mark, how are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. And we're going to talk a little bit about this new graded stakes system that the harness racing has came about over the last several months that is going to be in effect here in 2025. But we're going to talk a little bit about you first. You've got a long history in the state of Ohio as far as some management positions and your dealings, especially with Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway. Kind of oversaw the construction of that fairly brand new racetrack. But you actually got started as a horseman. Talk to us about the early days of one Mark Lowy.
Well, it started way back when, actually in 1978, upon graduation from college, I went right into the horse business. I grew up in New York City and hooked up with a trainer in New York by the name of Bill Popfinger and started working as a groom. And lo and behold, you talk about Ohio. In 1978, I was fortunate enough to be the groom of the Little Brown Jug winner, a horse by the name of Happy Escort. And I worked for Bill for 4 years, then worked for Jerry Silverman, and then had my own stable for about 10 years before I went into racetrack management, where I spent about 13 years at Pompano Park with simulcast director, assistant race secretary, race secretary, director of racing. So quite a bit, a little bit of everything. And from there, I had spent some time in Iowa at Prairie Meadows, and then went to work for Penn National Gaming, where I worked at their Grantville, Pennsylvania facility, and actually worked at their dog track in Florida. And then in 2012, I was asked to go out to Ohio, and I worked with the closing, unfortunately, of Raceway Park and Beulah Park, the thoroughbred track. But at the same time, Penn was building two brand new facilities, a harness facility in Dayton and a thoroughbred facility in Youngstown. So my time in Ohio was quite extensive. Besides being the vice president of racing operations, I was very much involved in the construction of both of those facilities and take great pride in both of them, especially the Dayton facility, where horsemen and fans have all had nothing but positive reviews regarding the facility itself.
So it's kind of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I mean, you've closed some racetracks and you've opened up others. And, Raceway Park was one of my favorite haunts. I was at Hazel Park for 10 years, the announcer and assistant GM there. And my father, who moved to Michigan right after I did, we would make those Sunday trips to Raceway Park. And I'll tell you what, some great, great memories there.
Yeah, and it was. And really, when we closed those two facilities, it wasn't because of struggling with the business. It was the economics, and with the racetracks getting the VLT, the slot machines, it was more a business decision because in Toledo and Columbus, Penn National had two standalone casinos. So to bring in the slot machines to the racetracks in both of those towns didn't make sense. So they closed those facilities to build two new ones where they would not be in competition with themselves.
All right, let's get to the kind of the main event, so to speak, of this interview, and that is the graded stakes system that Harness Racing has decided to adopt. And I know this has been a topic of conversation over the last 10, 15 years. I know this isn't a brand new concept, but the wheels are finally in motion. Talk to us about how the execution of this actually came about.
So the United States Trotting Association has had this conversation going back more than 20 years, and it always seemed to hit a roadblock. And about 2 years ago now, I was approached by some of the breeders and sales companies to see if we could just get back to the drawing board and try to put some graded stakes into our industry. Obviously, it's been a staple of the thoroughbred industry for over 40 years. And so they asked me to chair a committee. I put together a committee, and we spent about 18 months working through what we thought would make the most sense to have graded stakes on the standardbred side, similar to the thoroughbreds. And really, this is, it's a tool to provide breeders and owners, trainers, horsemen, a really good guide to the quality of standardbreds, by identifying the top races, the Grand Circuit races, and the horses that are competing in those races. And it also gives the general public a better understanding of what races are the important races in our industry. The average person who's watching a simulcast, when they see it says on the screen, it's the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes or the Grade 2 Sam Davis, their ears pick up. They say, well, it's a graded race. It must be a little more important than the other races. And we're trying to also, teach and educate the gambler that the standardbreds are similar. We have some very special, important races, and maybe it'll generate a little more, parimutuel revenue when people see that these races have a grade associated with them.
One of the things I think, at least in my opinion, that would kind of throw a whole monkey wrench into the proceedings are all the various sire stakes races, including the sire stakes finals for all the different states. How do those come into play, and what kind of was your decision process on how and where to include these types of races?
So the committee, obviously it was a hot topic because the sire stakes are so important in the standardbred industry, and they do not carry near the weight in the thoroughbred industry. So they don't look at it in the same light as we do. But the committee said, we can give them a grade, but it has to be unique. It cannot be the same as an open stake. I'll give a simple example of the Ohio Sire Stakes Final, a great race, $300,000 purse. But if I have a top Muscle Hill or top Green Shoe or Tactical Landing, I cannot compete in that race. So therefore, there are restrictions which make it not a top open race. So the committee has Grade 1, Grade 2, and Grade 3 for open stakes. And we have an R1. Or an R2 or an R3 for sire stakes finals, and the 1, 2, and 3 is predicated on the purse of those races.
visiting with Mark Lowy. Mark, one final question for you. When I was reading about this, kind of the one of the last lines of the whole article was stated that in the future, a speed performance rating system may be employed into the grading process. Can you talk about that? Is that still something that's in play?
It definitely is in play. I don't see anything on the near horizon, but what's prompted that discussion was, okay, what about Trackmaster? What about those numbers? Should they be, you know, incorporated into the discussion? And we didn't feel that those numbers per se, but that doesn't mean that something might not come down the line that we give more credence to. Again, you know, we're not doing everything the thoroughbreds do, but the thoroughbreds have a buyer speed figure that they use. And so we didn't want to rule out the possibility that something like that may come up. That would be a good tool for the committee to consider as they grade the races. And again, it's very important people understand this is a fluid situation. The committee will meet every year and review all the grades and then make decisions for the following year. It's not a static one and done. So races can move up in grade. They can move down in grade. No different than on the thoroughbred side in that respect.
Very good. Mark Lowy, well, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us. And you know what, too? I'll tell you what, this not only is going to help the breeders and the owners and so forth, but it's certainly going to help the gamblers as well, because it's going to clarify a lot of those stakes races, you know, when you've got, you know, grade two horses going against grade one and grade threes. I think that's going to be a big help.
Well, we certainly hope it is, and that certainly was part of our, you know, considerations when we were putting this together.
All right, good stuff from Mark Lowy. When we come back, the executive director of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, Frank Frost, will be joining us. You've got Off to the Races. And welcome back to Off to the Races. Mike Bowes, the chairman, right now. We've got a very special guest, the executive director of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, Frank Frost, joining the program. Frank, welcome in.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be with you today.
Now, one of the interesting things that when I was scanning your bio, and when I saw your bio, I thought to myself, first of all, boy, this is going to be an easy interview. Whenever you get a fellow broadcaster on the other side of the line, it makes things real easy. The former voice of Ohio State Baseball.
That is correct. I did it for 23 years and loved every minute of it. And if it had not been for my daughter playing her senior year of high school softball and then going on to play college softball, I probably would still be doing it, but I did not want to miss any of her games. And it came down to a decision had to be made, which one was more important. And my daughter took the stage. So that's why I don't do it anymore, but still follow the Buckeyes and enjoyed my time doing those games.
Well, tell us a little bit about how one Frank Frost got involved in the sport of harness racing.
Well, it's kind of interesting story. I was working at the time for Channel 6 in Columbus. I was selling advertising for Channel 6 and for Fox 28. And I was traveling back and forth up 71, and about halfway between Columbus and Cleveland, there was this billboard I kept going past. And one of my biggest pet peeves when I drive is not being able to read what's on billboards on the side of the road. I mean, those people spend a lot of money, and sometimes there's just so much on it you can't read it. So I kept trying to figure it out. And finally, about the third or fourth time, I realized it was horses with sulkies. I'm like, okay, now I know it's harness racing. Now I got to figure out what it was. So the next time by, I kind of scanned it and I saw the OHHA logo. So, you know, being the sales guy I was at the time, I called the office and wanted to talk to them regarding their advertising plans and who they were targeting and everything, and was told at the time they were using an agency out of Cleveland, and but they were not sure what they were going to continue to do. So, you know, I stayed in touch with them, and they were still, you know, working on things. And then one day I got a call and they said, "We want to do a television show." Okay. So then I contacted my production people at the TV station, and they're like, oh, no, that's too big. Well, you know, that led to me coming back to talk to the OHHA and saying, hey, maybe we could do it on a freelance basis. And then as talks continued, they were changing their decision on what they were going to do with marketing. And with my experience in sales and marketing, you know, basically we talked and said, let's create a position. And next thing I knew, I was here at the OHHA in 2019, end of 2019, as the outreach and public relations coordinator, handling all the marketing. And then, you know, so that's what I was doing. COVID hit, which, and then you're worried about if you even have a job, but we continue to create content for our members. And then last, I think it was November, December, I was named executive director.
You know, horsemen's associations across the country, I think the roles of those particular horsemen's associations have changed quite a bit over the years, especially with the dealings with legislatures. Now, as far as the OHHA goes, obviously, as far as legislation goes over the past 10, 15 years, the state of Ohio and you guys have managed to get a lot done and to make racing very, very profitable for its participants in the sport of Ohio. As it stands today, what primary role does the Horsemen's Association play?
I think that's one of them. What you said is we deal with the State Racing Commission on a daily basis regarding one issue or another issue that might be coming up. But, you know, we're also, you know, we handle the insurance for our drivers and our trainers and our caretakers. We also take care of their retirement. We are a membership organization. So, you know, we have about 3,000 members. The people join the membership. So we supply them with publications. We produce a magazine four times a year. We also do a video newsletter that we send out to our members on the other 8 months. We do the Ohio Staking Guide. So as 2 and 3 year olds and Grand Circuit events that need to be staked, they find that in there. We also do the Ohio Standard Bred Stallion Directory and our membership guide as well. And then we also do the Huffs Guide, which is the guide to the 66 county fairs that we race at across the state. The OHHA, we oversee the Ohio Fair Racing Conference, which is one of the four racing conferences that govern fair racing across the state.
Frank, let's talk about the state of Ohio harness racing here today as it stands.
It's perfect. No, it's not perfect, but it's great. We are in a great, great position right now. We are racing for great purses at the Paramutual Tracks. As I said, we're racing at 66 county and independent fairs across the state. Like we like to say, if you have a standard bred racehorse, we have a place for you in the state of Ohio.
Visiting with Frank Frost, the executive director of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. And Frank, one of the things, and I think this is the case that pretty much all horsemen's associations, be it harness or thoroughbred, make to their state legislatures, are the positive and outreaching impact that the sports have on the economy, not only in the state of Ohio, but across the country. Talk a little bit about some of the challenges that legislatively the sport faces. I know it's a constant education process with the revolving doors of legislatures that we have.
Well, to take a step back, to give you an idea here in the state of Ohio, earlier this week, we presented Governor DeWine with the John P. Stevens Humanitarian Award. It's one of our biggest awards. We presented him that at the our banquet in January. Unfortunately, he was unable to come, but earlier this week, we got the chance to meet with him. And Governor DeWine is a huge supporter of harness racing and agriculture. And that's what harness racing is all about. It's about agriculture. It's a $2.8 billion industry in the state of Ohio. And when we talk about agriculture, we talk about the farms that are growing the grain for our horses. We talk about the people that are buying the tractors for these farmers to grow the grain. We're talking about the gas that goes into these tractors. We're talking about every little bit, the feed stores, every, you know, all the way down the line, the number of jobs that this creates. And it's a big industry in Ohio agriculture. And that's one of the important things when we're talking to the state legislature about things, is how big of an industry it is and how we need to continue to feed this industry so it continues to grow and support the economy in Ohio. In dealing with the state racing commission, the state legislature, and places like that, one of the big things that we're battling with every day is expanded gaming in Ohio. We sit there, we watch and see what, you know, the legislature is going to do. And if it's something that we need to get involved with to support or oppose.
Visiting with Frank Frost. Frank, of course, you being a marketing guy, it all comes down to events, and you certainly have to have events to promote. And the state of Ohio has what I feel, and what a lot of people feel, obviously, probably next to the Hambletonian or even surpassing it, is, of course, the Little Brown Jug, the biggest event, I think, in the sport of harness racing. Talk to us a little bit about that, and, of course, as we start the road to the Little Brown Jug here coming up pretty quick.
The Little Brown Jug is the premier event in harness racing. I don't care what anybody says. You are racing it at a county fairgrounds. You have over 40,000 people showing up on that Thursday afternoon in September to watch the Little Brown Jug. And, people come from all over North America. When we set up our big tent at the event for all the horsemen to come in and all the fans, we have so many people, we got people coming in from Canada. We've had people, fly in from Oregon just to watch this event. And that's just one of the events that, we have in the state of Ohio. We've got some great Grand Circuit events happening all across the state at our different tracks. You've got up in Cleveland, you've got the Courageous Lady, the Battle of Lake Erie. You've got some events racing down at Scioto Downs. This year they're introducing the Jug Preview. You got the Charlie Hill and the Ewart Memorial races. Over in Dayton, we've got the Dayton Derby. So there are a lot of premier races in the Buckeye State, for people to get out and enjoy the racing.
No question about it. Well, Frank, listen, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy morning to join us. And, hey, best of luck as we move forward. Got a lot to look forward to here in harness racing in the state of Ohio. And it's just getting started here in 2025.
I can't believe it. I was talking to one trainer yesterday. The 3-year-olds are in training. The 2-year-olds are about to come in. And now we kick off our stakes season with the Buckeye Stallion Series and the Ohio Sire Stakes. In fact, our first leg for the Ohio Sire Stakes is May 16th. The 3-year-old Philly Pacers and Trotters will get going. And I believe we start that even a couple of days earlier with the Buckeye Stallion Series as well. So we're looking forward to the stakes season.
Thank you for all that great information. Frank Frost, the executive director of the OHHA. And I'll tell you what, it's, in my opinion, very important to have somebody with a marketing background. It's such a very vital position in harness racing here in the sport of Ohio. It's very important to market our sport effectively and efficiently, and it sounds like Frank is certainly on the right path doing so. Well, we certainly appreciate both of our guests joining us here today on this edition of Up to the Races. Of course, Frank Frost, the executive director of the OHHA, who you just heard, and of course, Mark Lowy. We learned a lot about the new grading system. It's very similar to thoroughbreds. It's going to be implemented here in 2025 in the sport of harness racing. And I'll tell you what, the Little Brown Jug, of course, a grade one event. And the road to the Little Brown Jug is, Frank said, the 3-year-olds in training in preparation for the big event coming up in September. All right, don't forget to join us next week for another exciting edition of Off to the Races. We're on the air every Saturday morning at 9:30 here on My 96.7 AM 1270 WDLR. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.